1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albiger. A New York banker was the final witness in this first week of Donald Trump's hush money trial. Gary Farrow worked as a senior managing director at First Republic Bank and met Michael Cohen in 2015.
Prosecutors now are having to get into the nitty-gritty of the accounts that Michael Cohen opened and created for his shell companies in which he was funneling the payments to Stormy Daniels and was going to funnel the payment to Karen McDougal, but did not end up doing so.
ABC's Olivia Rubin in court. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations are spreading to more college campuses. Protesters are demanding that the schools divest of any links to Israel. The Pentagon says the largest military assistance package to Ukraine so far is on the way. Residents of Flint, Michigan, taking to the streets 10 years after the city's water crisis began, demanding officials fix the problem once and for all. Stocks closed higher for the first week in a month. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Home prices in Wisconsin are 10% higher than they were a year ago. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says the median priced home in Wisconsin is about $300,000. The report points to a low supply of homes and higher interest rates. Richland County leaders say they face a potential economic crisis as UW-Platteville prepares to vacate its former branch campus. State Senator Kelda Roy says the UW system is reneging on expensive long-term commitments.
The legislature hasn't even begun to reckon with the financial impact that this is going to have on those local communities and the local governments who are now left holding the bag.
Richland County leaders say a recent $2 million grant from the state does not absolve the UW of its obligations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Eric Genrich, mayor of Green Bay, is in Detroit for the NFL draft. He's getting an idea of what Titletown can expect for the 2025 draft.
It's a large number of people, right, for a relatively modest-sized community. And so just figuring out the best way to move people around as easily as possible. Transportation, I think, is going to be kind of complex, but I think there's a way for us to figure it out.
The NFL draft is expected to bring up to 300,000 people to Northeast Wisconsin next April. A 25-year-old Oshkosh man has been arrested on 8 counts of recklessly endangering safety, 3 counts of possession of child pornography, 2 counts of criminal damage to property, and endangering safety by setting a spring gun following an incident on Central Street Wednesday afternoon. Oshkosh police report several bullets penetrated the walls of the home and impacted an adjacent residence. No one was injured in the incident. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The Packers draft a left tackle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers picked Jordan Morgan, a left tackle out of Arizona, in the first round. Morgan says he's watched a lot of tape of former Packer David Bakhtiari over the years.
Really strong arms, really strong upper body, and he can really lock people up, which is where I get my game from. I like to just lock people up and stalemate, and I mean, he's just a dog.
At the 25th pick, did the Packers ever consider taking offers to trade down GM Brian Gutekunst?
There was a couple things we were looking at did it make sense to move backwards. At the end of the day, because Jordan was available, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make sure we secured the player.
Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean was not selected. He'll still be available tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Pirates, thanks to a 2-run homer by Gary Sanchez. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he's a veteran hitter, and he's given us a big lift doing that. I mean, it won the game for us.
NBA, the Bucks and the Pacers in Indy tonight for game 3 of their playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and storms tonight and breezy. Temps steady to slowly rising through the 50s. Some rain around tomorrow morning, then mostly cloudy for the afternoon and a high in the mid-70s. A little breezy. More rain possible tomorrow night and cooler with showers Sunday. Right now it's 58.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Madison Mallards' Kyle Chisholm joins us to talk all things baseball. Three headlines in a lie. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, there it is, Friday, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Johnny, TGBPF. Thank God. It's Busted Pencils Friday. I forgot the I in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you almost nailed it. You got
it. I'm trying, man. It's Friday, though. Weekend is coming up. And, Johnny, you know what, though? We are closer and closer to Tuesday, April 30th, where we are going to be in Madison, Wisconsin, live broadcast, Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. We're going to be there. And you know why we're going to be there? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Yeah, Johnny, I'm getting it. I got my little email this morning saying, you know, make sure you're ready to board your flight. I'll be leaving out of here in Columbus, Ohio on Sunday, getting in. And, man, we're going to be in town, do a little work there, do a live show Monday from the Madison studio, and then Minocqua Brewing Company on Tuesday. Everybody, come on out. Check it out. Yeah, Johnny and I are going to be there in person, for real, yeah. Real life.
We are. And we love to, you know, visit capitals and be around the action that happens, because democracy in action, you know, we're all about it, especially connecting it to education. And Tim, I don't want to spend, we'll get plenty of time to talk about the fun next week, but we've got a great guest tonight.
Yeah, we do tonight.
Following up on the conversation this week about school safety and all the, you know, tomfoolery happening in capitals around our country. But defenders of democracy are out there, right? And we had some callers from Tennessee on Wednesday. And Tim, let's get right into it, because we got a special guest from Tennessee tonight.
We do. In fact, tonight on Busted Pencils, we are thrilled to welcome Tennessee State Representative Gloria Johnson, a staunch advocate for public education and a dedicated voice against the controversial decision to arm teachers in schools. Representative Johnson is best known for her unwavering commitment to student safety and educational integrity. She recently voted against the new legislation that permits teachers to carry concealed firearms, and that's amidst a growing national debate. Gloria, thank you for coming on Busted Pencils.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Oh, this, Johnny said the tomfoolery. We're talking about this. It's in Nashville. You know, the show's produced out of Madison, Wisconsin. Again, another, you know, when you're talking about the attack on public education. I was wondering, you know, can you just walk us through what the atmosphere was like in the legislature on that day of that vote? You know, what are some key arguments that you guys tried to show some sense of a sanity? So, yeah, question one, what was the atmosphere like?
Well, the atmosphere, I mean, you know, there were a lot of parents there, a lot of students. The students had organized two rallies that week. They had shown up and did two rallies to let them know that they were against that, showed up with their teachers a lot of times. And everybody was very vocal about how they felt about this bill. And it was came through the first year of session, which this 113th was, the first year was last year, but that is right after the Covenant shooting happened. Mm-hmm. We would have been hearing it in April, just after the shooting, and so they tabled it that year. But then it came through our Senate, and then we knew that they were going to pull it off the table in the House. So it was very sneaky the way they did it, because we didn't know when they were going to do it. But people had to show up every day because they could have pulled it off the table at any point.
Oh.
And so people showed up every day until they pulled it off the table the day, you know, before session was ending, and then put it on the calendar for that last day. So there were people in the gallery, and as soon as that vote passed, it just erupted, and they started chanting. The highway patrol removed everyone from the gallery. It was just a mess, and people were in tears. One of our members could not stop crying and had to go into one of the clerk's offices just off the floor to just compose herself, because it's so emotional for us.
Well, I think about, I saw some of that. I mean, so you, I mean, the people who were there supporting the, you know, trying to say, no, don't vote on, you know, vote yeah. against this. They were removed. I mean, they did nothing except they were there.
Right. We look up sometimes and they're moving people out of the gallery, and we're like, I didn't hear a thing. You know, what happened? Why are they removing them? And they'll get the press out too, oftentimes. It's just remarkable how, I mean, you know, it's true what they say, democracy dies in the dark. And when folks are not there watching what's happening in the Tennessee state legislature, we are losing our democratic norms day by day.
Well, you say we come here every night too, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Busted Pencils. And we talk about that because we talk about public education, the foundation of democracy,
right,
and making sure that there. I mean, you, a former teacher, thank you too for all of that work, because, you know, we're out there. And in fact, you're an example of what Johnny really is pushing, saying, hey, teachers, if you can step up and take on this whole role of, you know, putting yourself out there, whether it's to run for school board, local council, all the way, state count, all the way, but just doing that active membership. But you're a teacher. I wonder, though, what do you think this law will do to the classroom environment if, well, and it's not if, but your governor, did he sign it already, or he's
going? Oh,
that's okay.
There's a march tomorrow from one of the parks to his house. And it was to ask him not to sign it. He signed it today before people marched to his house. And I'm not going to be in Nashville, but I said, I hope y'all are marching anyway. And so I think that I'm pretty sure that they will.
Yeah.
But just horrific. And already I think about 10 counties have come out and said, we're not doing it.
Oh, so excellent.
It's, you know, I'd like to see the other 90, you know, or 85 counties come out and say the same thing. I hope they do, just to be a big, you know, in your face to those guys, because we kept telling them, they'll talk to two or three people that want it, and then they'll stop talking to people. There is no question that the majority of families or teachers or students do not want this. You know, some of the things that I talked about, you asked about how we fought this. And for me, I'm like, teachers already do four jobs. They're teachers, they're social workers, they're nurses, they're counselors. And now you want to make them security as well. And they get paid crappy for the one job that they do. I mean, Tennessee teachers are making less today than they did 10 years ago when you take into consideration cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and this bill is so bad, you guys. This bill says that the teacher will carry the gun on them at all times, except when they're in the gym or at the football field. And I'm like, well, what do you do with your gun if you're going to the gym?
Right.
What do you do with your gun if you're going to the football field? Where's the safe place you're going to store that weapon? It's just ludicrous. And if you're teaching second graders, you hear a noise out in the hall, are you supposed to leave your class and go check and see what that noise is? And maybe step out in the hall to with your pistol to somebody who's got an AR-15 and a couple of other weapons? You're asking a teacher to go to their death. And then you talk about, like, in New York, in a back and forth gun battle, police are only about 18% accurate. Imagine what a teacher with one tenth of the training is going to be like. And I say it all the time, and it's true. I feel this way. If you are a teacher and you want to carry a gun, you might not need to be in a school.
That's right. Yeah.
Johnny. Well, yeah, we thought about this. Like you said, nothing about this increases safety. This absolutely actually increases the likelihood that somebody is going to get hurt. We had a couple calls. We had a Tennessee teacher call us the other night too, and just saying, it's just like, it's not a matter of if, it's a when it will happen. And, and Gloria, you talked about one of the situations where something will happen. Okay, I gotta go to the gym. I gotta put my gun down, and that gun, now where you're gonna put it, who knows? But in a moment, that gun is probably gonna be left unattended. And then imagine what happens then, and then imagine how the teacher then has to live with the situation like that. We had, was it Larry, Johnny, who called from Tennessee, and he's just like, he's like, you know, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm just not going to do it. He said it, and if there is one thing, he's like, you know, it's bad enough. I already every day am trying to convince myself why I shouldn't quit. And he's like, this is just one of those things. This is just driving him in that direction, Johnny, right?
Yeah, well, and I'm glad to hear Gloria say, you know, to give us a firsthand account of the resistance to it, the opposition to it, and then also to hear, and we had touched on this, Tim. Remember, I said I hate to just, there's no silver lining in this,
right?
But I was saying, listeners, like, don't get this wrong. There will be some local autonomy in this. Districts will be able to say no to this. School leaders will be able to say no. Districts will be able to say no. So that's not me condoning that this is a great political, you know, time well spent. It's absolutely not. But, you know, Gloria telling us, like, there already are 10 and hopefully many more to come. So they'll listen to teachers. They'll listen to families. You know, school, good school leaders that are out there will say, you know what, this is not the, this is not what we want in our schools. This is not a solution.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that really just with these guys that they cannot understand is that we want to prevent the guns from ever getting to the schoolhouse doors. We want red flag laws and safe storage laws and reporting of lost and stolen weapons. We want to make sure that guns never get in the hands of dangerous people and never get to the schoolhouse door. They want to bring the gun battles into the classroom. By arming a teacher in a classroom, you are literally bringing the gun battle into the classroom. How they don't see this is just remarkable to me. They have no idea what goes on in a classroom in the day. They have no idea what goes on in a school building. And they are foolish, but they just can't stop themselves from doing one ignorant thing after another.
Our guest, State Representative from Tennessee, Gloria Johnson, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Number's 855-752-482. If you want to jump in, give us a call. When we get back, though, too, Gloria, I want this constitutional right. I heard that being thrown out there as the reality.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. We are joined by Tennessee State Representative Gloria Johnson. No vote, voting no on giving teachers concealed carry guns. Didn't really matter, though, Gloria, as you said, the opposition, they just couldn't help themselves. I wonder, though, too, I was listening to one of the opposition, and he framed it this way. It was just like, look, it's not about arming teachers or not. He's just like, I am just making sure that I am making the federal constitution apply in that anybody should have the right to carry a firearm. You know, he goes, it's not my place to say whether or not it should be a school or not. Our job is to enforce the federal constitution. And so the reason why we want teachers to have guns, and it didn't to me, he's like, it's totally removed from safety or not. He was just like, look, it's their right to carry a gun. And we should make sure that people's rights, particularly in Tennessee, those school teachers, they have a right to carry a gun. And I want to make sure that that right is given to them.
Bless their hearts. They also say sometimes it's a God-given right. And I totally miss that part of the Bible where God gives you a right to carry a firearm. But the Constitution, let's talk about the Tennessee Constitution first. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee Constitution, when it talks about guns, the article that talks about guns says that you have a right to carry firearms, and the legislature has the right to regulate guns for the safety of the populace.
Yeah.
They had a constitutional amendment this year to remove that part of our state constitution.
Did it pass?
Constitutional amendments have to go through two sessions, and then, yeah, so... not yet.
Okay.
But just the idea that is just so ludicrous.
Yeah. Well, that word regulation is just something that you know, your opposition, you know, I said red Republicans, you know, well, we got to do away with regulations. It's like, well, no, when we're talking about safety, Gloria, you're thinking with this though, too. I mean, what the Democrats in Tennessee, what were you trying to offer instead of guns?
Well, I want to go back a little bit to our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, does say well-regulated.
Well-regulated, yeah.
They forget that part as well. But what we were offering, well, and one thing that nobody talks about, because this was kind of kept a little bit quiet, but it's a fact, there were two armed staff at Covenant when that shooting took place. That were armed for security purposes, but they weren't able to stop anything. But what we were offering is prevention, stopping the guns from ever getting to the schoolhouse door, red flag laws that remove guns away from people who are dangerous, also safe storage laws and consequences if someone gets your gun and uses it in a crime, because so many times, especially when it's younger people, they're getting these guns from their parents' house or an uncle or, you know, somebody that's a relative or a friend. And so we're trying to talk about that. We have already had passed legislation for an SRO in every school. I honestly think that there are better ways, and most of that comes through the prevention end, because we haven't really seen armed guards in school do nothing. Mm.
Right.
You know, or slink away from the situation. Mm-hmm. So what we really need to do is we need to Make sure that students have their social workers and counselors in our schools. There was a school shooting in Central High School in Knoxville in 2008 when I was teaching there. And it was one student who was new, was a foster student who came from a really, was just really a lot of upheaval from being removed from his family, putting in another home, and it felt like this other kid was bullying him, and, you know, just a horrible situation. And they did, you know, there was a shooting in the cafeteria that morning before school started. And all I can remember, the kids running down that hill into my classroom with just screaming and terror on their faces and just kind of trying to figure out what happened because they couldn't even talk about it when they first got in the room. And you don't ever forget that. I'll never forget that day. When I'm in a classroom still and I hear sirens, I jump because it just goes back to that day. And I'm sure that most of the people that were in that building with me as well are experiencing some of the same things. But, you know, we've got to make sure that kids have access to someone to talk to when they need to. Make sure that we're caring for everyone's mental health. And then also make sure that dangerous people don't have weapons.
I was going to say, I mean, the whole gun control is just it, like, we're not going to even talk about that, you know, as if it's like, sorry, we're going, bad guys are going to get guns. That's just the way it is. And therefore we're going to make sure good guys have guns then too. And you're sitting there going like, yeah, but what if bad guys couldn't get guns?
And you're only a good guy with a gun until you're not.
Right. Well, and, I know.
And that's what we also had. We also had one of the Republicans bring a bill saying that our local counties could not write their own red flag or ERPO laws. They couldn't write them. So they took away the rights of locals because they won't do it. And then I think that's the next thought is locals are going to go, well, we're going to do them locally then. Well, they preempted them from being able to do it. And I ask, I'm sitting in the committee and I asked the sponsor of the bill, I said, do you believe dangerous people should have weapons? No. You're taking away the very thing that can remove weapons from dangerous people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times it's where, you know, we had a particular incident in East Tennessee where a couple got divorced. A lot of stuff was going on. The man didn't handle it well. He, you know, he was fine until he wasn't fine and ended up shooting their son. And this is a situation where even if you go to the police, they can't do anything about taking those guns away unless we have a policy in place that allows them to do that.
It just the frustration you must go through, you know, so you're part of the Tennessee Three, as you got, as you all have been now known across the country, and just seeing your colleagues too. I don't know how you do it every day. We thank you for doing it mostly too. The idea of modeling for us what democracy looks like, Gloria, and modeling for educators that's saying, you know what, on issues, you know, we need educators in these positions because they don't listen to us, you know? And even though you must be frustrated because they're not listening to you now, but you're there. You're there, yeah. And you're a model for teachers. So Gloria Johnson, state representative from Tennessee, thank you so much. And if you ever need anything with education, come back to Busted Pencils. We would love to have you on, and we really appreciate you. And what we say to all of our guests, thank you for busting pencils.
Yeah, thank you
so much. And I'm happy to come back anytime.
Great.
All right. We'll be calling you, Gloria. Thank you.
Johnny and Tim will break it down, and we got some callers when we get back. Busted Pencils.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
So
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Four Wisconsin technical colleges will use $75,000 to train young firefighters. The Youth Volunteer Firefighter Training Program aims to boost recruits for rural volunteer fire departments. They're having a hard time attracting and retaining firefighters. President Biden and Vice President Harris have been to Wisconsin 11 times since the midterm elections. Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming says that shows weakness.
It's not because they're confident in Wisconsin. It's because they know they're in trouble in Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that.
Democratic Chair Ben Wickler says the more voters hear from Donald Trump, the more they move toward Democrats. The two spoke at a WISP politics luncheon Thursday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is in Brown County, says Katrina Nordyke of Brown County Public Health. Pertussis is highly contagious for 21 days from the onset of symptoms.
If you are showing symptoms, stay home, wear a mask, and hand hygiene is always important. Wash your hands, keep surfaces clean, try to stay away from others if you're sick, and wear a mask to prevent those droplets from spreading if you cough or sneeze.
Whooping cough can be very dangerous for babies under 1 year old and people with compromised immune systems. New rules for school meals were announced by the USDA this week. For the first time, they are limiting added sugars to meals starting in the 2025-26 school year. By fall of 2027, added sugars in school meals will be limited to no more than 10% of the total calories per week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're making weekend plans and are in Northeast Wisconsin or don't mind a short road trip, check out An Evening with John McGivern Friday night, April 26th at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. The host of Main Streets on PBS and former host of Around the Corner tells funny stories about his life growing up in Milwaukee in a big Irish Catholic family and his prolific show business career. Tickets can be purchased at TicketStarOnline.com. Quick fashion tip, if you appear on a podcast, don't go commando, especially if you're wearing baggy shorts. Travis Kelce and comedian Andrew Santino recently discussed Kelce's appearance on Santino's podcast a few years ago, where Kelce was literally hanging out. Santino and his editor decided not to reshoot, but just put a big Kansas City Chiefs logo over Kelce's ballular area. That's a medical term. Look it up. Kelce laughed as he recalled the incident, saying he had no idea at the time. Yeah, sure. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and storms tonight and breezy, temps steady to slowly rising through the 50s. Some rain around tomorrow morning, then mostly cloudy for the afternoon and a high in the mid-70s, a little breezy, more rain possible tomorrow night, and cooler with showers Sunday. It's 55 right now.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Todd Alba.
Everybody, join us next time as we recap the weekend news events and kick off It's Gonna Be May Week.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's gonna be May.
Yeah, we sow the seeds to see us through. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. Thank you to Tennessee State Representative Gloria Johnson for joining us to talk about that. Give us the insider perspective of dealing with the insanity going on with Tennessee arming teachers. We've got callers. Mark from the SAC. Mark, you're first. What's happening, Mark?
Yeah, thanks. It's just remarkable to hear this kind of thing. I wonder how comfortable those legislatures would feel if there was somebody sitting up in the gallery there with a AR-15, and every so often the guy would pull the bolt back on the on it, so they hear the chamber slamming shut, and wondering if the a hail of bullets is going to be coming down upon their sorry asses. I mean, sorry to be hyperbolic here, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, I've hunted my entire adult life and was pretending I was hunting before that. I mean, but this is just, it's just asinine that it's just, for goodness sakes, you can't even carry a camera in the gallery of our state legislature. I mean, that because they don't want pictures being taken of them falling off to sleep, you know, when they're sitting at their desk twiddling their thumbs. It is just, I just can't imagine what is going through their heads in doing this kind of thing, because we're just another, how many mass shootings have we had already this year? I mean, it's not going to solve the problem.
No, Margaret said this has nothing to do with safety. We know this. Everybody knows this. You know, so Mark, yeah, thanks for putting that out. And you say the frustration, it's not hyperbolic, man. It's just being real. L.A. Tom is on the line, though, too. Our friend L.A. Tom. What's happening, Tom?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We keep telling ourselves this every day. We actually may get power to the people and get some things changed. I would like to just, in terms of phrasing, you know, instead of calling something regulation, let's call it putting referees on the field. Let's talk about sports in terms of what it is that if you want no referees to, you know, be reffing the game. I remember years ago, Paul Ryan was pretty upset when Green Bay played Seattle, and there were some the sub refs were playing, and Green Bay lost the game, and they were so mad about there was no good officiating on the field. There was no good refs. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. I thought you guys hated regulation. I thought you wanted it just to be completely no referees on a field. So I would just like to, you know, say that when we talk about regulation, that we just, you know, change the terminology a little bit to, you know, referees on the field. That everybody, I think, could actually understand the analogy.
L.A. Tom, there you go. Coming back with a little bit of common sense. Johnny Lupinacci, though, really, I mean, you think about this. Well, first of all, again, you got to love Representative Johnson, right? You know, special education.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
special education teacher all those years and now a state representative.
Yeah. And like we always said, we had Mitch on, you know, last week talking about, you know, the great things happening in the state politics of Michigan and him saying it's having so many educators involved that makes, you know, pathways for almost a shorthand. You know, across the aisles, you know, Republican, Democrat, really, you know, tends to lean more heavily Democrat when we talk about supporting public education. But there are good representatives out there across our states, you know, who are, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, advocates of good schools and public school advocates. So it's great to hear from folks who have teaching experience and a genuine passion for justice, you know, and the great work that Gloria is doing down in Tennessee, and also, you know, her peers there doing that hard work. So I'm excited. And, you know, selfishly, I'm always pumped when the premonition comes true that we're going to find more defenders of democracy who have a background in education, right? Who take on that civic duty and responsibility and run for office because they can make huge change in things. You know, this is a really important stuff, and it is incredibly important that we're talking about, you know, this week so much about safety in our schools and on our campuses and in our communities, right? And educators, the bottom line solution is not arming educators, right? That's just not like we're going to put that one to rest. We're going to stay up with the story, you know, and stay in touch with, you know, our friends in Tennessee, but across the country. Like, the answer is, you know, not putting more guns into spaces, and especially into schools. So, you know, that's a huge piece. And I love that, you know, Representative, you know, Johnson said this tonight. She really emphasized that your Second Amendment right to bear arms is not threatened by regulation that says, you know, like, we're not going to have guns in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, right to bear arms doesn't come with the right to have no regulation of those arms. And that's really, really important.
Well, I got to show you. Here's my right to bear arms right here, man. You like that?
Yeah.
Right now. Listeners are like, what are they talking about? Yeah, Tim and Johnny are flexing.
And hey, Anya's getting in on the flex too.
There's so Anya too.
Nothing to share, but I'll jump in.
Well, and Mark, Anya got this for us. 141 mass shootings so far in 2020.
And just 2024.
Just in 2024.
We're not even done with that year yet. It's only April.
We're not even 6 months in.
Yeah.
You know, and you say it's just like, okay, again, nothing here. I would, though, too. It was encouraging to hear from Gloria, though, that, you know, so Governor Bill Lee did sign the bill today. But, you know, the protest doesn't stop. Democracy doesn't stop. Students and families are marching tomorrow from Nashville to the governor's house in protest to see if he can now, you know, either take his signature off, but to make it known. And so engaging in democracy, in civil disobedience, in peaceful protest, getting mm-hmm. together. I remember that, you know, right after Parkland, when Parkland did happen and the shooting was that, you know, there were lots of people organizing across all the country, you know, trying to do, you know, marches in across the country to say, we want gun control in our schools, please. We want gun control. And I remember walking with a group of kids in Wisconsin, 50 miles, you know, they did 50 miles. They walked to Paul Ryan's house at that time. Paul Ryan was the speaker, and they wanted regulation. You know, again, democracy, the people want this. That's the part that I think has got to be frustrating.
You know what, Tim, we use the word regulation a couple different ways on this show. On Wednesdays, right. We talk about it in a really different context that I like. We talk about the importance of having a regulated nervous system, of, you know, having our emotions and our rational thoughts regulated and sort of balanced. You know, but I like this term when we talk about, you know, deregulation or regulation in politics. I like to break it down to everyday language.
Okay.
Hey, this ain't anything goes.
Yeah.
And that's, so I break it down in that, like, cause that's basically what it breaks down to, is like, no one signed up for anything goes community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's mayhem. And to have anything goes is problematic and nearly impossible. And so, usually when we're pushing for deregulation, we're pushing for someone's particular way of wanting things to be favored at the expense of others. That's mm-hmm. not balance. That's not common good. So this effort to deregulation is really, you know, when we talk about wanting to have some regulation around guns, we're not talking about extreme banning of anybody being able to have a firearm, right?
Right.
Like we're talking about some regulation, because I'll break it down again. Hey, you're saying this ain't anything goes.
Right.
This is not like, this is not, you know, this wide open. You could do whatever you want. That's not how it works.
This isn't right? the third round of rollerball with no rules.
Yeah. And even the third round of rollerball has some rules. Right. And so that's what I'm talking about. When we get down to this, you know, it's not anything goes. So some regulation, as noted by Representative, you know, Gloria Johnson tonight, saying like, hey, we want some regulation. There is in the state constitution of Tennessee, also in the United States Constitution, you know, lines of text that say with some regulation.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely what we're here to talk about. Democratic process of how we move away from this. Come on, folks. This ain't anything goes. I don't think you want to play that way. This ain't anything goes, because it's not. The people advocating for deregulation just want their way to be favored. And that's a different set of rules.
And Anya's wondering if you're using Detroit lingo right there, Johnny.
I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm sure people in Detroit know what I'm saying, but I think everywhere people can relate. Like this ain't anything goes.
Yeah.
You know. So you know, students in a classroom and say like, "Hey, we can do whatever we want." No, that's not. You have choice. You have voice. You can give input, but this ain't anything goes.
Well, it's not right. But you know, you think about this too. It's like when regulations, right? Okay, we don't want regulations on guns, but boy, they wanted in Tennessee the people observing democracy happening. They wanted regulations on the people observing to the point where they said, "Regulations, get them out of here." So the people were escorted out of the people's buildings because they were practicing democracy and saying, "We don't want you to vote in favor of giving teachers guns. Teachers don't want guns. Nobody wants this." And guess what, though? The opposition there pulled some regulations and said, "Hey, get these people out of here. They're breaking rules. Get them out of here."
Tim, I like the phrase, Representative Gloria Johnson said tonight, she said, "Democracy dies in the dark." Mm. And so bearing witness to what's happening in our, you know, in our capitals, what's happening in our communities, what's happening in DC, you know, what's happening around the world, democracy is participatory. And if we're not participating in it, then like Representative said, then it dies in the dark. It dies when our eyes aren't on it, when we're not, you know, we're not participating in it. Now, why I'm linking that to what you're saying, Tim, is there is a concerted effort to prevent people from participating, to close the doors and to have those decisions not be made public. And mm-hmm. that is absolutely not only unconstitutional, but anti-democratic at its finest, right? So if democracy dies in the dark, then we can't turn the lights off on it. But yet we're constantly, and look, she was talking about people are being removed from being able to just be observers, which everyone has a right to be doing, right? So we have that problem. But again, linking it to last night's discussion, and I'm going to save some stuff for, you know, after next week when we have some really great guests coming on who are experts on this topic, especially in related to education. But another day goes by and there's still news headline after news headline of things happening to students on campuses across this country. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that we don't turn the lights out on democracy, that we don't turn against and we don't use violent force to subdue voices. We don't remove people, you know, from the floor bearing witness to decisions being made, important decisions like should guns be in our classroom. Mm-hmm. We also don't remove people who are peacefully protesting for or against anything. Right. And so this is a really important moment in our current events that we're here to talk about in terms of what does democracy look like? Well, folks, it's in action all over.
I got a democracy in action headline right now.
Uh-oh.
On the Busted Pencils Twitter site or X site, whatever you want to call it, L.A. Tom putting out there, "Taylor Swift, how would you please write a song about Tennessee teachers having to carry guns in public schools? And also, please endorse Gloria Johnson." There he goes. So L.A. Tom right there.
Making the call.
So Taylor Swift, we know you're listening to Busted Pencils. L.A. Tom would love for you to write a song about Tennessee and the insanity of trying to force the teachers there to carry guns. You see that, Johnny? I mean, democracy can happen everywhere, you know, and Busted Pencils is your conduit to democracy. It's right there. There's a little bit of a bump there. Sorry about that, Anya. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842. I thought I was going to bring my knee up and cross my leg, but my knee was under the desk and you heard the knee hitting the desk. Yeah, you're not hearing the scream that I would like to utter at this point right now, because I'm not going to do that on the radio. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, TGIBPF. There it is, Johnny. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. One more segment when we get back, recap of the week, and then leading into coming to Madison. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back in a minute.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
School! No, it's not out for summer yet, but it's getting close. It's busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. Yeah, it's Friday, Johnny. We are coming down. We're getting closer and closer to that day. You know what's happening that day, right, Johnny? You know what day I'm talking about?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That day when we show up at Minocqua Brewery. You know why we're going to show up there, Johnny? Do you know why, Johnny?
Well, man, Tim, we got a live show. We're going to be, you know, meet and greet with the people, live show. Civic Media is going to bring it on out. Anya's going to be there with us. Tim, you and I will be there together, sitting side by side, having great conversations, but also having great beers with the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurt public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And Tim, I got excited today because, you know, I live a little ways away and I'm excited to be over in the Midwest again, and especially, you know, to make my way through Milwaukee and the Madison community and to hang out and to hoist them up high with the good, hardworking people, especially the teachers that are going to come out and join us. But I'll tell you what, Tim, I also got excited because should I get a taste of the beer, and I'm gonna, and I want it when I'm home, they ship to 44 states. So listeners out there, I know our local listeners already know about MBC, but if you're a distant listener and you're going to get extra jealous because you can't join us in person next Tuesday, well, we'll tell you it's good. We'll give you the stamp of approval, and then you order it online and you can get your MBC sent to you. So good stuff, Tim. I'm looking forward to it. And I think there's still a giveaway lingering. I don't think anybody's reached out, called, or sent a message to take a stab at what is the thing happening this weekend that Tim nor Johnny have ever done together. What is that thing that's happening? Is anybody gets that right? You know, Tim's got a Busted Pencils t-shirt for you. Yeah. We'll either mail it out to you, or if you come and join us in person, we'll hand you that bad boy on Tuesday.
We got it for you. Yeah, I like Anya, though, too. Hey, Johnny, 44 states. I wonder if Minocqua Brewing Company is going to think about sending some to Finland for our listeners in Finland.
I mean, you know, I don't think you can ship liquids overseas, but it's possible. I don't know that you can do international shipping, but I'm also speaking way out of pocket on this one.
Well,
I have enough time shipping books to other countries. I can't even imagine if I was shipping liquids.
We can get some of that woke coffee to them, though, I bet.
Maybe some of the beans. Man, I can't wait to try that woke coffee. I mean, you know, I'm a caffeine junkie, and I'm also a guy who's woke. So I can't wait to bring those two things together on Tuesday.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education Friday. Yeah, wrapping it up, though. Had a great guest today. Typically, we do news and round out the week, but Representative Gloria Johnson from Tennessee was able to come on the show, talk about the insanity going on and that went on in Nashville this week. by signing legislation, and we just found out the governor did sign it today, so it is law that in the state of Tennessee, teachers can conceal carry. They have to go through there are some regulations they have to go through to get that. It is encouraging, though, to hear Representative Johnson say that a lot of local communities are saying, yeah, we're just not going to do it, though. We're not going to do it. And to hear that, I am worried, though, about that, you know, setting up that dynamic where people have to now say, I don't want to do it. And then potentially being faced with pressure from outsiders going, but it's the law. And now I want you to do it. It was like, this is why we didn't want to even get to this point, which is, you know, you don't want to have these arguments. And again, as a teacher, Gloria was a teacher. You know, we had Larry, the badass teacher from Tennessee, calling us on Wednesday. This is, boy, you want to continue having a teacher shortage or a teacher exodus? This is one of those things that's going to put a bunch of teachers over the edge and going, that's it. I'm done. I cannot do it anymore. You already had me doing, as Gloria pointed out, four different jobs already on top of teaching. And now I'm an armed guard in a classroom, and my role is to step out of my room and shoot bad guys. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to be a teacher. I wanted to make a difference in the lives of kids in communities with families. I wanted to be a role model in public schools. I wanted to be an advocate for democracy. I was not signing up to be an armed guard taking out bad guys with guns. Bad guys shouldn't be able to get guns and then bring them into schools. Why would we drop out of trying to do what's right? This is the kind of, some people going, but Tim, you're just not going to stop a bad guy getting a gun. Why not? Why don't we try? How about we try stopping bad guys from getting guns? You're right. Some of them will get them, but we should try to stop them. And every one bad guy stopped from getting a gun, that's a success. That's a win. You don't just say, well, we're just going to let the bad guys get guns because our defense for bad guys, all the good guys got guns now too. And then as Gloria did, she pointed this out too. And what happens when good guys with guns decide to become bad guys?
Yeah, that's the thing I like, Tim. It's just it's the idea is like more guns in these spaces isn't the answer. You know, we should do a whole nother show talking about with people in the community who are proposing alternatives to this, because, you know, I don't want us to just, even for our listeners, fall into the, well, this is crazy, but it's also happening. Can talk about like what are some of the practical on the ground solutions, because saying no is probably the best thing we could do. But then saying, okay, what do we do as an alternative? Like, how do we break it down to the on-the-ground ways that this could be done differently in terms of, well, what would make our community safer, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'll definitely do a follow-up. Man, it's been a big week. You know, democracy is in action, is happening everywhere. There's a lot going on. You know, we're really proud of all the people who are coming out to, you know, say no to war anywhere. And we'll be together this weekend, and we'll be live from the studio on Monday, live at Minocqua Brewing on Tuesday. Tim, it's good to bust pencils with you this week, my guy. Let's do it live next week.
Yeah, live next week. Busted pencils. Yeah, on location. Come on out. It doesn't cost you anything either. You just come on out and hang out. It's Busted Pencils, man. Loving the week. And I say, you know, starting off next week right away in Madison.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend and bust those pencils.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates. More Trump trials in Manhattan. We'll find out who's on the prosecution's witness list. Tune in, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.